Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing edition of the Psychic Funhouse. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Mr. Michael Espinoza.
Hello, everybody. Welcome.
And we're also joined by an amazing animal communicator, shaman, and all-around sweetheart of a person, Ms. Carla Meske. Welcome,
hi,
Carla.
Everybody.
Hey.
Thank you so much for
hi,
asking
Carla.
Me to come. Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah. Got the applause going for Carla. So tonight we're blessed with Carla's presence. Yeah. It was supposed to be that. And, of course, my name is Lawrence Birch. I'm your co-host along with Mr. Michael Espinoza. And Carla's here by very special request. She is a shamanic practitioner, a Reiki master. She's certified in the Masterson Method of Integrated Equine Body Work, which that would be fascinating to talk about. An ordained minister, just in case you needed one, she's ready to offer her services, published author. She's got an MBA in marketing and finance. And she also is just an amazing communicator with animals. I was talking, Carla, with a mutual friend of ours, Elida, about the time you were able to just touch somebody's horse. I don't know where you were, but the animal was, I think, pulling a cart, or there was some kind of activity. It was in a big city, maybe New York or something. I don't remember. But just the way the horse responded to you, Elida, was super impressed. Do you remember that? Does that ring a bell?
I do. I think we were in Florida together.
Elida
and I were at a conference in Florida. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, she was really blown away by that.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah,
you should tell
fun.
Us the whole story, because I kind of mangled it.
Well, I'd have to make it up, but I'm happy to do that. You know how. Oh my gosh! Well, I think what happened is that she and I were just going down the street, and there was a carriage horse. You know, one of these tourist carriage horses. And I just walked up to the horse and put my hand on his neck and said hello. And the horse lowered his head and blew and looked at me with sweetness. And Elida was really stunned by that. I love that she was stunned.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Really, I don't think it was that impressive, but the horse liked it. So good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how long have you had horses? You've been a horsewoman pretty much all your life, right? Or when was your first horse? When you were younger?
Yeah.
Or?
I got my first horse in seventh grade. And
oh, wow.
That was kind of an adventure. My parents knew nothing about horses. oh, my God, it was a mess. But one thing led to another, and that horse went down the road, as they say, and when I was in college, I was able to, I got another horse in high school that was pretty good horse. But then in college, I rode a friend's horse. And after that, I bought my first adult horse, and I've had a horse ever since. And right now I have three Icelandics in the barn.
Oh, my gosh.
Three old Icelandics.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Icelandics are famous for tolting. Right? Can you tell us what that is?
How did you know that? That's true.
Because I know I had a girlfriend who was a horsewoman. That's how I know. So that's my inside track.
Oh.
Yeah. I was horse adjacent for a few years, so I learned a few tricks. Yeah.
Horse adjacent.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been a shamanic healer forever. Lawrence and I actually started shamanism at about the same time, started really studying it together way back in the day. And I've really stuck with it, and I now, that's my full-time job, is doing shamanic healing and animal communication. And I have a school for teaching shamanism, so that's really what I do. But I have a side job, too, and that's being a horse massage therapist. And I do a version
of... that's the Masterson method.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Masterson,
about that.
Which
how,
I learned.
How'd you become a horse massage therapist? That's fascinating.
Well, it's my horse was messed up. And when I was in Eugene, there's this magic hands guy named Eric Verdow, and I don't know if he's still in Eugene.
I know Eric.
But he's a physical
therapist. I know
therapist.
Eric, yeah.
You know Eric,
he's
yeah.
pretty amazing. I do, yeah. I never saw him, but I knew people who did. He was a miracle worker for sure.
Totally. And he would work on my horses and really turn them into butter and fix their problems. And then I left Eugene, and I had a horse who was all messed up. And I couldn't find anybody who knew how to fix their problems. And so I figured, well, I guess I'd better learn how. That's how it all started.
Okay. Well.
You know, the shoemaker or mother of invention, whatever it is. I learned, you know, in the COVID, you learn how to make pizza. And when your horse is messed up, you learn how to do body work.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've all had to be creative the last year. Yeah.
Boy, we sure have. Indoor gardens, pizza. I even tried canning. That didn't work out.
Uh-oh. So what,
right.
Carla, where's the intersection for you between shamanism and animal communication or your work with, now you work not just with large animals, but any animals, right? Pretty much.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think that the shamanic journey is the perfect vehicle for animal communication, because once you're in a shamanic journey and you have stepped out of your ordinary line of thinking and stepped into connection with sacred spirit, then all you have to do is bring the spirit of the client animal into that circle with you, and boom, you can talk to them. It's pretty flipping easy. It took me a little while to figure it out, of course.
Uh-huh.
But once I figured it out, it was like, oh, wow, man, I could have had a V8. All I have to do is journey, step into the middle world, into a sacred circle, ask a teacher to join me, and then call in a cat, a dog, or whatever, and yammer, away you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to take up all the question opportunities, but I also want to, you know, let Michael jump in if he's got any burning questions for you or anything before I keep going. But Michael, are you in listening mode, or do you have a question?
I'm in listening mode. I'm absorbing everything she's saying. So
nice.
If I have something, I'll jump right in.
Okay. Don't be shy. So do you have any stories that stand out for you in your long career as a shamanic practitioner and animal communicator, Carla, that you think our listeners would be fascinated to hear?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I should have had some all prepared, but you know how they go elusive on you. But I'm going to share a story of a horse I've been working on because he's so fresh. This horse is a performance horse who's moving from hunter-jumper into dressage. And he had a horrible disease called EPM, which is a muscular wasting disease that's transmitted to horses by possums. And
possums?
He's recovered from it.
Oh, evil.
Possums.
Wow.
How does that transfer? How does the horse get
it's
that
in their
from
poo.
A possum?
And possum poo carries
and what, the horses
the,
eat it? Eat the poo?
Yeah, it's in their hay.
Oh.
And, yeah, or out in the field where they're they're chewing on grasses and they run into it. It's an awful disease, but the good news is that there's drugs for it, and the drugs are really effective. So this horse has been recuperating under the arduous regime of his mistress, who has been giving him many, many, many therapies, all of them. And then she decided the thing to do would be to put the horse into training with a man I work for as a massage therapist. I work for a trainer. When I'm doing it, I have a trainer. And so the trainer brought the horse in. He said, I think you need to see this horse. And I put my hands on him, and he was shaking all over, quivering everywhere.
Poor guy.
And so, it was terrible. So I did a lot of releasing and a lot of shamanic work through my hands. But I asked him, honey, what is your story? What is it? How did this all happen to you? And he showed me a time when he was a hunter jumper horse, when he missed a big jump. And he hit his right knee, and he went down and he fell hard on the right side of his head, and he smashed his shoulder, and he was gonzo. I mean, it was a terrible train wreck. And so I brought soul parts back for him. I did soul retrieval.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And I pulled all that toxic memory out of his tissue, out of his fascia, and I got him to release it all and shake it all down and put it down into the earth and let it all go. And by golly, a week later, we got a new horse.
Wow.
And just totally different beast. Yep.
Huh.
Now,
You said a week later. Is that like a lag time between when you work on them in the spirit world and when things manifest physically, or that was just things taking effect or other things were happening? Just curious.
Well, it could have been sooner, but I don't know for sure because I came back a week later and saw the difference.
Got it.
Yeah. And there wasn't anybody else in the barn who could have given me a report. The grooms don't care. The trainer really doesn't care.
They're all
about their thing. But when I saw him again and I put my hands on him a week later, he was just nuzzling and sweet. And all of that weird electric tension that he had in his body was gone. And he's been recovering really quickly.
Oh, great.
And sure enough, it turns out that the injuries that he had correspond to the wreck he showed me. The owner said that he had actually torn the ligament on the top of his neck on the right side, and that there was some kind of issue with the right shoulder, that there was an orthopedic issue with the right shoulder. And,
so
you know, in the journey, they replaced his whole leg. The spirits came in, and they melted his leg away, and they replaced it with a new leg.
That's crazy.
Is that cool?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
So that's a recent story.
Can I ask you a question? Kind of come back to the pain, because you said he hurt his leg. Do horses, or I guess animals, experience pain the way we do, or is it different?
The way we do.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they experience it just like we do. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They frequently have headaches. It's something that people don't know, but horses often will have a headache.
Really?
And then, because when we put bits in their mouths and we pull on their faces, we jam up their heads. And then they get headaches.
Yeah, makes sense.
Last time I
put a bit in Michael's mouth, he complained about a headache, but I just said, take two aspirin and call me in the morning.
How did he look good in the saddle?
You know, he wouldn't let me
saddle
him up.
Too?
He, He's very reluctant. He doesn't cooperate.
Didn't look very good.
I'm trying to break
news.
It. Oh.
You weren't good in your costume.
Giddy up, pony. Giddy up. yeah.
Oh man.
Well,
that's
anyway,
great.
You know which. You know when we dress up as a horse, you know which end is which. That's all I'm going to say. Well, that's pretty cool. So you have clients that you see, and you do massage, you do animal communication. What kind of classes do you offer? You do those too, it sounds like.
I do.
You teach
do.
People how
I
to communicate with their
teach,
animals?
I do. I teach people first how to do a shamanic journey, and
mm-hmm.
then I teach them how to communicate with their animals. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could walk us through what a shamanic journey is for people that are listening and don't really know what shamanism is and what a journey is. I know we're familiar with those terms, but what's the process involved?
Sure.
Say I was taking one of your classes. What would you be doing? You know about that in the first class.
Mm. The very first thing we will do is learn to access our imagination. We open mm-hmm. our imagination and we ask spirits who are all around us all the time. We ask compassionate spirits to join our imagination and give us information. And the way mm-hmm. that we do it is I have people remember a place in nature that they know and that they love, that if they just think about it, they can be there, you know, that just remember being there. And to open their whole memory to that place, to see it, to hear it, to smell, and to ask the spirits who are there to give even more information into their imagination. So people say, I'm making it up. And I say, great, spirits are helping you make that up just the way they want
exactly.
you to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a shamanic journey. It's the very initial one. And
mm-hmm.
then we have them meet a tree spirit, the spirit of an ancient tree.
I approve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trees are good.
Yeah. Trees are very good people.
And they're the best people. And that
Thank
tree
you.
Becomes
I'll take that.
Everything.
Mm, interesting.
They merge with the tree and then they meet a power animal, and the power
mm-hmm.
animal and the tree become their non-ordinary reality shamanic companions. And then they learn to just drop
mm-hmm.
into that state and to meet those spirits
mm-hmm.
and go from there.
How did you choose a tree as opposed to, I don't know,
mm.
just a regular plant or something else? Is that something that came up for you? Or that's curious to me. It's interesting.
Grandmother Sunflower, who is my main teacher, told me to use a tree.
No kidding.
And it was on that same trip with Elida, oh, by the way, that she did that.
Uh-oh. The famous Florida trip.
Uh-oh.
With a horsey.
I was walking around outside at a break in the conference, and there was one of those giant, beautiful Florida ficus.
Oh, yeah.
And she said... Grandmother came in. This is my spirit teacher, for those of you who wonder, who's that? She just sort of yammers in my ear all the time. And
mm-hmm.
she said, do you see that tree? I said, yes. She said, do you see its roots? I said, yes. Do you see its branches? Yes, Grandmother. I see its roots. I see its branches. That tree is your school. Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
I like it.
You are that tree. You will merge with the tree. You will teach everyone to merge with the tree. And the tree will become the main grandmother tree of everyone who comes to your school.
Nice.
And when they have learned all they're going to learn, they'll be like seeds of new trees, and they'll go out and they will become new trees to plant a new forest of a different species. And thus, shamanism will grow. Isn't that
nice.
Cool?
Wow. That's very cool. Very cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And since then, I've really delve deep into Celtic shamanism. And, you know, the Celts were big on their trees. The trees have much magic. Druids, yeah.
They do.
And
we like trees.
So, Reed Hart was really one of the people who took me down this tree rabbit hole, too. Because he had us do a shamanic. That one time he had us do a journey into our ancestor tree to go down into its roots to meet our elders. Did you do that journey with us, Lawrence?
It feels very familiar. It's quite possible, yeah. We did a lot of journeys, but that would be a good one.
Yeah. Well, that sort of set me on the path, too. And the other thing that put me there is that I wanted to figure out how to really bridge the three worlds and stop this sort of artificial separation.
Sure. And, like a world tree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is the world tree, indeed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now I teach people to merge with a very sacred tree of theirs and to go down the roots to go into the lower world and up through the branches to go into the upper world, and that even the middle world, when you're with your tree, the middle world is also safe and sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really changed everything. And it makes it easy for animal communication, because once you know how to connect with your tree, you just connect with the tree and call in the cat, and you say, "Hey, cat, what's going on?"
Got it.
And the cat says, "Nothing. I'm a cat."
Sounds like a cat. What are you asking me for? I'm being a cat. Exactly.
Right.
That's funny.
Mm.
So when people come to you for animal communication issues, what's the most common animal that you work with? Are they cats? Are they dogs? Or have you worked with, like, I don't know, people's iguanas or goldfish or kangaroos?
Sometimes. Kangaroos. I love kangaroos. Oh, my God.
Who
I've
does?
Done that once. I had
so
one
jumpy.
Kangaroo. One.
Did you really?
Jumpy. Did. I had a lady in Texas who had a kangaroo, and I journeyed for that animal. Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm. Wow.
So what happened? Do you remember?
No. It was 25 years ago. But I do
remember
I journeyed for a kangaroo.
Okay. So you've got that under your belt.
The answer to the question
mostly
is
cats.
I work with more cats than anything.
They're kind of challenging to communicate in real life, I would think. So maybe they, the owners are like, "Hey, can I get some deeper insight here?" I mean, dogs seem just so much more open. Not all the time. Don't want to be biased, but that's my impression.
I think that's really true, and I think that is one of the reasons people call me for cats.
Mm-hmm.
And they call me about inter-cat problems, inter-household cat problems, otherwise known as cat fights.
Mm-hmm.
About inappropriate bathrooming behavior. That's a good one.
Oh, right. Yep.
And often
about
healing. Mm-hmm. You know, to do healing work on sick animals. The bulk of my requests is not just for general communication. It's for actually fixing and healing problems. That's the bulk of it.
Yeah. What's that process like? That's a tremendous responsibility. I we have we've had a few callers come on with pet issues, and I have no hesitation pretty much working on humans, but whenever somebody's got their pet, I always am like, God, this is like somebody's child for most people in this culture. So it always gives me a lot of pause because I want, bad pun, I guess, but I want to make sure that, I do really well on the animal's behalf, because it's just, it's a different situation, I guess, it feels like. I don't know if that's true for you or not, but that's kind of what it feels like.
Well, at this point, I don't really feel that way. I mean, every client is important, a dog, a horse, a person. So
sure.
I don't worry about that anymore. And I no longer worry about whether they think I'm right. That was the best part, getting over that.
Oh, yeah. Tell us that secret. We'd love to know that.
Yeah.
What you do finally.
I was presented with clients that about, I don't know, grandmother taught me this lesson slowly and painstakingly. She'd send me a client who was in her head and was testing me. And I would do my job. I'd call the spirits in. We'd pull out the intrusions. We'd put the power in, stories from the animal. I would tell the person, and the person would come back and say something like, well, that can't be right, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd just say, I understand you feel that way. And sometimes I'd even give them their money back because they were unhappy. And then a month later, they'd call me up and they'd say, I really have to apologize. You were so right.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so what I have learned is that I get what I get. Grandmother Sunflower and the healing spirits do what they're going to do. We do our very best. Sometimes it doesn't work. And that is what it is, because every client, every animal, every person has their own sovereignty. They have their own directive. You know, we are asking to help. We're doing our best, but that animal or that person, it has to be part of their path to heal. And if it isn't, it isn't. And
that can be really hard.
That
can be really hard to accept. You know, it's interesting. Our guest from last week, the wonderful Mr. Liam Watt, who's a fantastic astrologer, Michael brought him on again, and we told him you were going to be on, and that led us down a really interesting path with him for a little bit about a dog that he had for a while named Moondog, who he communicated with him using pictures, right, which is what animals do. And he had a very touching story about Moondog sending him a picture of him digging Moondog's grave. And at the time, the dog was really, happy and healthy. And he was like, no, this can't be right. And his dog kept showing him, you know, the image, because the dog knew something that he didn't. And then I think he said about 6 weeks later, he had something going on with his back leg. Is that right, Michael? Something like that. And it turned out to be a sarcoma, like a muscle cancer or something. And, and he didn't last much longer than that, and it came to pass. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, get into the downer side of things, but I mean, death is just a transition, and it seems like animals are big teachers for us about that. I don't know about you, but I just lost one of my cats that I had for almost 20 years, and you know, I'm so grieving her not being here. But I also, as a shamanic practitioner, understand that it's, you know, there's so much more experience than what we are attached to here on this particular physical plane. But it's pretty, you know, animals are such
profound
creatures.
And they seem
creatures.
To... Sorry. I just wanted to say also, too, I think, to me, my perception is always that animals, I can talk more about cats, that they're okay with death. Like they're not upset by it, and they accept it more than we do, that's for sure.
What's been your experience with that issue, Carla?
I would say that animals tend to be ready to go way before humans are ready to let them go.
Yes.
That I do an awful lot of work with people whose animals are on the brink, and they want to know if it's time and how to know when. And that's, you know, it's almost impossible to answer that question. Any vet will tell you that that's a bit, because just like anybody, you feel, when you feel good, you want to stick around. When you feel crappy, you think it's time to leave. And most death processes are not a straight line. They're, I'm better today, I'm worse tomorrow. You know?
That's very true.
So
that's
always a challenge. But what I found is that I have a routine where I, with if an animal is, if that's the whole issue, if, you know, if that's what we're talking about, I will bring the spirit tribe for that animal into the circle and reacquaint the animal with the spirits that he's going back to, his mom, his brothers, all that.
The ancestors.
And that's
what
so really excited to go, you know? Yeah.
That's
powerful. And then I leave one of those animals with them so that they know that, and that, and I ask that spirit to coach the person, to give the person the confidence to make the call when the right time.
Yeah, it's hard. It's so hard. So do you, you obviously must work, come to you about their pets that have, passed on and they still want to communicate with them. Do you have many clients who ask for that work from you?
Oh.
You know, for the deceased?
Yeah.
Psychopomp?
It's definitely a regular affair. Connect with the animals who are on the other side to get messages from them, to find out who they're with and what they're doing. And you know, but one of the magical things there is that a shaman can, when they do that, when a shaman connects with the animal or the person on the other side, they can bring a gift of power back for the person left behind. So I can journey to... let's say I'm going to journey to a horse who's crossed over and the woman is grieving. I can ask the horse to give her back a piece of soul that she may have left. You know, we send our soul away with those who are dying. So to send that soul part back so they can have their full embodiment and to give them an energetic gift that makes them just feel better about things. So that's part of a shamanic healing for the person left behind. And I think that's a really core piece of doing a communication. My philosophy on communication is that just talking to them is not what it's about. What it's about is healing the pain and the suffering that caused them to want to have the conversation to begin with.
Interesting. Going deeper. Yeah. How often is it, you know, that people will come to us for something? You know, they may not have a totally clear idea of what they need, but they have something they want, right? And then spirit will kind of upset the apple cart and give them exactly what they need. And sometimes they're receptive to it, sometimes they're not. So part of our job as spiritual intercessionaries, I guess, is to kind of mediate that process, be that bridge, and help the person come to an understanding that spirit gave them a real gift, even if it wasn't what they thought they wanted or what they needed to hear. And then, you know, the work that comes after is on their end when they are able to assimilate or process it, or if it's a task or suggestion that spirit brings, you know, being able to accomplish that as elegantly as possible, I guess. So.
Yeah. That is our art.
Definitely art. Most of the time. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so
you know,
Lawrence,
this might be
sometimes
a good time.
You've given me.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've been appreciative of the herbal recommendations that you've given for my clients, and that your herbal side of your work is amazing and really, really beneficial, and I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to have had animals in my life probably for as far back as I can remember, one kind or another. And, you know, I've always been interested and fascinated by them, and the ones that have really gotten close to me have been very, very special to me. So, you know, they've taught me a lot about different things that I can offer. And like you were saying, I just thought that was so profound about, you know, even when animals have moved on from our physical lives, they still have lessons for us, you know, and healing that they can offer us if we're receptive to it. And that's such a powerful concept, you know, and such a giving concept too. I mean, animals give us so much plants do too. I don't want to shortchange them, but animals are just, you know, if we just stop and think for a minute, how much gratitude we have for the animals that have been a part of our existence for as long as we've been humans. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Our inner relationship with them, we're completely dependent upon them. And, you know, I find it curious when people say things like, oh, well, you know, maybe this animal will come back in a different lifetime and evolve into a human. I'm like, well, maybe, but, you know, I think humans need to pick up some tips from animals and evolve into something better than they often are. Not to discount humans, but, yeah. You know, animals are pretty amazing as they are, quite frankly. That's kind of what I think, so. But, yeah.
Well, I completely agree. Completely mm-hmm. agree.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
working
well,
on
so,
a theory yeah. right now.
Your theory?
That
share
cats,
your theory. What's your
my
theory?
My theory is that cats get inflammatory bowel disease from stress.
Uh-huh.
And I work with a lot of cats who have inflammatory bowel disease, and it seems like
oh,
a
no.
mystery in how it comes on.
Huh.
And so in my household, 2 years ago, I got mm-hmm. two baby kittens, two little orange kittens. And my
mm-hmm.
and to activate this theory, I have tried to make their lives absolutely 100% stress-free.
Awesome.
They've never gotten scolded. They've never been, you know, never had a stressful moment. Well,
mm-hmm.
am I paying for that or what? Sunshine Honey Butters now has decided that
what,
she runs my
what,
life.
What's the name of one of your cats? Sunshine what?
Sunshine Honey Butter.
that's my nickname for Michael. What a coincidence. And when
I
he's
love
not
it.
Sunshine, it's Dark Side of the Moon Honey Butter, because that happens too. You know, he's got a dark side. Comes out.
That's right.
That's right. Watch out. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Sunshine Honey Butter. Okay, so what's the other cat's name? Come on, you got to give us that one.
Yam. As in the,
oh, okay.
the vegetable.
Okay. So we got
yeah.
yam and sunshine
one
honey butter.
One is short,
okay.
the other is long and complicated.
Got it. Kind of reflection of our lives, yeah. Very good. So your experiment is to make sure they have as stress-free a life as possible and head off any potential physiological issues because of that.
It is, and Sunshine Honey mm-hmm. Butters is determined to create stress and physiological difficulties in me because she wants it her way.
Well,
and
see,
she's always
you didn't
had
realize.
Her way.
She was doing an experiment on you at the same time. That's obviously what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? You're the test subject.
She assaults my chair. She launches at my chair and uses her claws to come up the back of it, my desk chair, and then
oh my
stomps
God.
On the top of it and growls in my ear to get me to play birdie or to feed her.
Wow.
Oh,
oh gosh,
some animal
funny.
Communicator I am, right?
Well,
so do
I'm,
you communicate
no
to her that you shouldn't be doing this or, you know, mommy doesn't
yeah.
like
no,
this?
No, it's going to stress her out.
Exactly. I can't yell at her. I can't get
no,
mad
but
at her.
You can send her
can,
a message.
I do. I communicate to her that this is not appropriate, and she says, how else am I supposed to get you to stop what you're doing and play birdie with me? It's me. I want to play birdie. I want to play birdie now.
That's so, you know what? This is like, I'm having deja vu. This is exactly how Michael responds when I tell him no, too. Same thing. So demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So demanding.
Yeah.
I
well,
the
let's
answer
take a moment to... and... Oh, burp. How about? Well, why don't we go around and kind of introduce ourselves again and make sure that because we've got new people that are listening, we're doing an animal communication show with our special guest Carla Meske. Carla, if people wanted to get in touch with you to get some healing work for themselves or their animals, or they wanted to know more about what you do, And if you have any classes coming up, why don't you give your contact information out if you could, please?
Absolutely. My website is spirithealer.com. Thing is right there, spirithealer.com. And you can find my phone number, you can find my email, everything, spirithealer.com. That's it in a nutshell.
Nice. How about you, Michael?
Wow. You can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com. You can call me at 562-457-0457. How about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, my phone number is 541-344-7534. I offer shamanic work. I'm a psychic certified clinical herbalist, and I work with Tarot. Email is givingtree@earthlink.net. I have a Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website is givingtreefarm.com. So all sorts of options there. Yeah. Well, how are we feeling about going to the phones and finding out what our listeners have questions about? Carla, does that sound like something you're ready to do? Do you want to invite
in
some people? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So we'll just let our callers know, you know, we have an animal communicator here. So hopefully you're listening because you have some animal communication issues. Carla might be able to illuminate some things for you about that. So so we'll find out what your name is and where you're calling from, and we'll go from there. So we've got area code 216. Hi there, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Michael, Lawrence, and Carla. What's your name, caller? Where are you calling from, please?
My name's Sharon from Ohio. How are you this evening?
We're good. How are you?
Great.
How
are you? I'm doing
Is it Sharon?
Great. Sharon with an N.
Sharon. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Great. What can we do for you, Sharon? You have a question
for
Carla?
I have a question about my dog, Jackson. Can you pick up anything on him? He was a foster dog.
Tell me more about him, would you? What do he look like? What's his age?
He's 6 years old, and he's a beagle mix.
Okay. All right. And do you have any particular questions for me?
I just want to pick up, like, what his past was like, if you can pick up anything on his disposition.
All right. So I'm going to connect with the compassionate spirits from the north,
okay,
east, and west. I'm connecting with the teachers who bring me into contact with the spirits of the animals. And I'm bringing in a dog named Jackson. And Jackson is, he's shaking his head back and forth. And I ask him, what's that about? And he's funny. He's not really getting a focus. He's shaking his head, and he's looking around to the right.
Okay.
As though he wants to go at behind himself. It's as though there is something going on with his ears or his balance. So let me put my hands on him.
Okay,
babes, my name's Carla. I'm here for you. And he flops down on his left side, and he says he's extremely tired. Why are you so tired? And he says, because I have to look out for and take care of. And he's showing me that he patrols the perimeter of the property with his senses, that he feels like he has to be on, basically feels like he has to be on patrol, not like a German Shepherd would be on patrol,
okay,
but more like just on an alert system. So your question was about his past. So Jackson, yeah, may I ask you about your past? What?
Thank you.
The time before Sharon. The time before you knew Sharon. Is there anything significant in your past that you want her to know? Hmm. Thing he says is they were going to clip my tail. And
oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know that they were going to, but somebody's grabbing him by the tail and they're trying to catch him and he's trying to get away and they're squealing and screaming and they're grabbing his ears and he got rough handled, real rough handled. And so I'm going to do some healing work on that right now because we don't like, if somebody shows me trauma, we fix it, right? That's our job. So I asked my compassionate teachers to go in and pull the trauma out and dissolve it and to get his soul part that I can hear all this screaming. Oh, my God. So I get his soul part that escapes that and we pet him and we cuddle him. And we clean and clear the pathway back. And I put that soul back in him now. So, Jack Trauma, you just showed me that soul part is back in you now. And he says, I can feel it. I can feel it. My breath is changing. I feel that. That's good. So does that help explain why your ears are a little off and why you don't feel like your head is on straight? He said, who told you that? I said, I'm just looking at you, dog. I just see you that you wobble your head a little weird. You want me to help you with that, Jackson? Sure. Yes. Yes. I'll be enthusiastic. Yes. Good. I like enthusiasm. So I put my hands on his neck. And C1, C2 is a little bit out of whack. And we're adjusting it. There we go. He takes a big gasp, eyes roll a little bit. And now he's coming into an alignment so he won't be as frantic. And I'm balancing him on his fanny end. And all of a sudden now he's happy. He's like, wag, 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 wag. Happy, 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 happy. So what do you want to say now, Jackson? Now he's focused on you, Sharon, and he's in the moment with you. He is now ready to be very present, to be your partner. What he loves is when he can flop his head down on you, even though it's slobbery, and you pet him very lightly between his eyes with those long fingernails. He loves that. Oh, my God. 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 He loves that. And he loves that you give him those little treats. He just loves you. So he's totally now present with you. Jackson, I'm gonna give you a kiss goodbye. All right, I'm coming back. How was that, Sharon? Did that line up with anything for you?
I love him so much. Well, you know, you never know what goes on behind closed doors, first of all. The person that surrendered him, She cried when she let him go, by the way. Her husband got really sick. She couldn't take care of him anymore. But I don't know what happened to him in that house. That's the whole thing. You know, I mean, he does have a little bit of anxiety. So I don't know. But, I mean, that's why I was asking. You never know. You never know. You know what I mean? People tell you what you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what happened to him with her. But I do know he was with the same person for 6 years. I've had him for a month.
Great.
He's a cutie pie.
Oh, I think he's going to settle right into you because what happened bringing that soul part back to him, then he shifted. And instead of him looking like he wasn't settled, like he wasn't really sure about his balance, it was like he was out of balance. Then he came back into balance, and now he's like focused on you, and you are his new devotion. So I think you're going to be good.
Yeah, I know. That's funny, though. I do have long nails, and I do scratch.
Yeah, I saw it. It felt great. Yeah.
But I just was curious, that's all. because you really never know what happens to them before you get them. The people can lie, you know, just stuff like that. But thank you so much, because I just love this dog. Thank you.
That's good.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking for me to speak with him.
Oh, that was really nice.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Thanks,
I want to listen
Sharon.
To if you have anybody else. All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, you and Jack can take care and enjoy each other.
Bye-bye.
Wow,
can I ask you a question about my?
Sure.
So his name was Bobby, and last year I had to euthanize him. He was bitten by a dog, and he had MRSA, and we just could not get rid of it. And so it was a long, I think about 5 months, trying to heal him. And I really tried to save him, and we couldn't. And he had, I think, 5 surgeries, and I felt bad for each surgery, but I didn't want to let him go. And then finally, I made the decision. So was he okay with that?
Oh, MRSA. MRSA. Bobby is a cat?
Yes.
Okay.
He was a tabby.
A gray or a brown tabby? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to bring you into the sacred circle with Grandmother Sunflower. Grandmother, this is
mm-hmm.
Michael.
Hi.
And she's taking your hand, and she guides you. She takes your hand and me, and we walk over to the edge of the bridge, and she makes a paper and passes it onto the bridge to call for Bobby the kitty. And the bridge shapeshifts into, I can't even tell. It's like a light tunnel thing, and we go through it, and we're in another side, and I'm used to going into the land of cats, but we're going through a different pathway. It's like going through the alley to get in. And Bobby is there, and he looks at us, and he knows, he's knowing. And he shows the progression, the time of the wounding, where he says that you were as wounded as he, and that you have come now, and he now is going to heal you.
Oh.
And so we're following him now, and he goes up, boing, up, boing, up, and we're coming out of this sort of gray back alley look into a blue and white light field, like a cloud light field in the upper world. And there's this glassy, shimmering surface, which looks like a UFO disc. And he grabs you by your collar, like, and pulls you through a portal, and you are now floating in space, in the Crystal Palace of Cats. This is an interesting way to get here. And there are grand spirit cats here, Egyptian style. All that, those big cat spirits, that's all true, and they're here. And Bobby comes over, and he goes, you know, that chortle that they do. And he
mm-hmm.
shows how your face, it's on the left side of your face, it carries the same wounding mark that he had. And he shows how that goes down into your chest. And he's showing how your body mirrored his, and how incredibly important this is, that you get this healing. And now there's a spirit coming in who's like a psychic surgeon who is human cat. It's kind of like looking at Top Cat. And he comes and he uses a claw and some pulling and pulls out of you. You're like sucking, inverting, and all of the energetics of the MRSA come out of you. And they're transmuted.
Wow.
And then I'm seeing a triangle back to Bobby's form when he was alive. And I hear the word, this is very important. And there's a... we're standing and watching something happening in the physicality of your home and all the beings who live there. Don't be surprised when a dragon comes knocking on your door. They don't knock lightly. And he sends his dragon breath through and cleanses everything. And all of the fragments of the MRSA are gone. They are incinerated by the dragon's breath. And I'm watching him do this, and we're watching him from this heavenly place in the upper world. And Bobby is like, there's another piece over there and over there, and he's directing this dragon that's doing this. And then I see this big disruption changing, and there's quiet, like it's gone to still point at your house. And the dragon carries off all the remnants and disappears them. And I'm back focused now on you sitting here with your jaw dropped, hanging open. Close your mouth. Bobby comes up, and he pushes into your chest, into the place where you held the wound for him. Absolute, complete recovery. And the wisdom and the knowledge of the most ancient wisdom of the cat people comes into you. You have been initiated into the tribe of the cat people, and you are being given a school of wisdom from an ancient Egyptian cat person for you to remember the truth of these ways. And Bobby looks at you and bows to you and says, we are now peers. This is very good. For us to become a peer of a cat, that's something.
That's awesome.
Now I need to get my cat lady sweatshirt.
There you go.
Yeah, you need a cat lady sweatshirt for sure. And now they're putting a crown on your head, Michael. You're getting crowned. You have been initiated into something very big.
Oh, my God. Never going to hear the end of it now. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Take note, Mr. Birch.
Oh, that's right. Now I'm just a loyal subject. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Bow.
I am not worthy. I am not worthy.
And then bow.
I'm not worthy.
Exactly. But I will.
Bring me catnip.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Carlos, what have you done?
You're welcome. You know, I'm still not done, though. Bobby says he wants you to know that he knew how dangerous the MRSA was and that you kept going is truth of your love for him and your determination. Mm-hmm. He knew that he wasn't going to make it because he knew that MRSA was stronger than his form was, but he was so honored that you kept trying, and he was afraid that you were wounding yourself, but he also knew that if you had let him go earlier, the MRSA would have gotten you, that somehow in that war you had with the MRSA for him, you killed it in yourself. You won the war in yourself. So this was about you healing you, Michael, more than about healing the cat in some really powerful way. And Bobby was standing witness to that through his lifetime.
Wow.
That's his message to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Yeah. That was heavy.
Yeah. I like the crystal cat palette, though.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Thank you.
Michael's finally been initiated. That's a long time coming. He's a made cat man now. Never going to hear the end of that. So thanks for that.
Now
Paula.
I need to go get my cat lady
your
sweatshirt.
Tiara.
They don't have Catman sweatshirt, so I'm going to get my cat lady sweatshirt.
Okay.
And perfect. A mug and the slippers.
The
and
whole
all
deal.
That.
Yep. Right. You've arrived.
Oh,
you've arrived,
God.
Brother.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Paula, that was amazing.
Wow.
How are you feeling? We've got more callers. Yeah. We've got about a third of the show left. Do you want to talk about some stuff? Kind of have a minute, or are you ready to take another caller?
I'm ready. I'm there.
You
man.
Are just
I'm,
on
I'm
fire.
Zone.
I know.
Awesome. I'm on the zone,
awesome.
Baby.
All right.
Wow.
Zone. All right. Well, let's take another caller. So this is you're in the cat zone. The catbird seat. So this is area code 804. Hi there, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from? You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Carla, Lawrence, and Michael.
Hello, good evening. My name is Vernell. It starts with a V, like in Virginia, and I live in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and,
Vernell from Virginia. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. I'm a cat person, too, which is the reason why I'm calling. I have a cat named Lucy. And she's a short-haired domestic cat. She's a tortoiseshell cat, you know, which means that her fur is black all over, and she have brown throughout her fur, even on her face, and like on the left side of her chest, about on half her chest, she got like a square brown patch. And I have she had been sick actually since last year, and I had went to other healers about her, and she seemed like, you know, she's okay, but she was diagnosed last year with kidney disease, sometimes she might meow if she come out of the cat box or if she eats something, and sometimes it seems like she might gulp a little bit. I'm not sure if she needs a little bit more healing done on her. She's still shaking her head every now and then, not all the time like she did before. She still got her appetite, so, you know, that's good. And she's drinking water, and she wasn't drinking water much before, but she's drinking it now. And sometimes she, all of a sudden out of the blue, she would just start perking up. And I don't know if it might be out of frustration, but she would just suddenly perk up and start running all over the place and jumping on the cabinets and everything. And her meow tone seemed like it changed. Or she might sit on her hind legs and take her two front paws and move them up and down right in front of me. I'm not sure what that is really about. And she would come and lay on me when I'm sitting down. She would lay in my arms, and she would look at me. And sometimes I wonder if she's telling me something when she does those things. And also one more thing about her is she's a Pleiadian cat. I was told by more than one person, and that she was in my life for other lifetimes. So, those are the things that's going on with her, and I'm hoping that she's okay. And I was wondering if y'all might know, you know, why she behaves that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's ask her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the best thing to do. So her name is Vernal?
No,
no.
Lucy.
She's Vernal.
She's Lucy.
My cat name is Lucy, and my name is Vernell. It's spelled with a V, like in Virginia.
Okay, I just wrote them down, and I got lost on which one I wrote down. Okay, so Lucy, let's bring her in.
Okay.
Grandmother Sunflower brings her in, and Amber, my teacher of cats, brings her in. And she's a princess indeed. She wants to be brought in, carried in a specific way. She does not want to be treated like trash. She needs to be treated with importance.
Mm-hmm.
She wants her kidney healed. She opens up her belly, and Amber, my teacher who heals cats, puts this, she's got this white light funnel ray kind of gun thing. I don't know what it is, but it does heal kidneys. So she's putting that in to the kidneys and clearing out the all the little tubulars and all of that which goes with it. And there's mm-hmm. this giant relief, sigh relief. And I see your kitty put her head down, flatten her ears out like she's, well, it's kind of weird how she's flattening her ears out, but she's just feeling a vibration and a buzz with this.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's, it's relaxing through her back. The one of the things that seems to be happening with the kidney is that the bladder is getting involved, and she can
mm-hmm.
She can get some bladder inflammation and pain with it.
Okay.
So that's getting resolved, and she likes that. Okay. So now I'm going to ask her what when you're running around jumping off the cabinets and flying off the ceiling like your mom is describing, what's going on? She says, most of the time I don't feel good, but sometimes I do. And when I do, I love to express joy.
Okay.
And so that's her energy. That's when she's feeling great. It's like, wow.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked her about sitting up and waving at you, and she wants you to pick her up. She wants you to hold her. She wants you to be in connection with her. When you have a way of holding her and kind of singing to her. And when you sing to her, when you your chest gets this melody, it gets a warm, it's like you're purring. When you hold her, you're purring, and that's soothing to her. She's shown that love's just draping with you and being held by you, concerned that she doesn't have much left longer to live. She feels like her life force is beginning to fade. And this is, she's telling you that this doesn't mean to be sad. It means that you should enjoy every moment you can together. So she can tell you all the little things that she's wanted to tell you. And she knows that you worry about, it sounds like your son. And she wants you to know that she is there with you and supports you, and that you are, that when you wonder whether you're doing the right thing, you are. That she believes that you, your sincerity and your honesty and your truth will hold you upright through this. I'm going to ask if there's a power animal that will come in to support you, because it sounds like you need it. So I'm calling in a power animal for you, and a curtain part, and a deer, an elk. It's an elk comes in to be your power animal. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So you were going to ask me a question?
Yeah, so I thought she was healed, so she's not really going to be around too much longer.
Well, she's telling me that this is a progressive disease and that she knows that, and she's not sad about it. She just wants to be sure that you guys have real quality time now and that you enjoy all your moments together. I have no idea what the time frame is on this. No idea at all. But she is aware that she is not getting better, that she has good days and bad days, but that she can feel her life force is slowing. And she wants you to know that she's aware of that.
Okay. And whenever her time comes to go, I just hope that it will be without pain and peacefully.
Oh, when that time comes, you'll have much advice from veterinarians, and there will be much that will come into play between now and then. So I don't feel like that's imminent at all. But she just wanted you to know, to be honest with you. She wants to be honest with you that she's on the slow decline, not on the incline. And that's just truth. And she wants you to be real strong in truth, because that you've got a situation in your life which doesn't have anything to do with her, and you are managing it by never lying, by being absolutely in your truth. And she admires you for that, and she wants you to keep doing that because it makes you upright and beautiful. So there you go.
Okay. Well,
how are you feeling, Jill?
I'm kind of shocked that she still is gonna. I mean, I know that her time was gonna come eventually, because pets don't live as long as humans does, and I had to put other cats down as well, and she had a sister, so I hope her sister will meet her when her time comes.
Oh, I bet she will.
Oh, I'm sure she will. Yeah, and I don't think she's going anytime soon. Mm-hmm. She just wants you to know that it's important for you guys to be close and loving and honor and cherish all your time together now. That's what matters to her. That's what's important to her. That's what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
All right, Vernell. Well, I hope that was really helpful.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad y'all told me what I need to know, and I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you. We're so glad you called, you take care of Lucy now. She's a good kitty. You're a good cat owner, so always remember that too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
very much. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll talk to you again. All right. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was...
That was kind of a downer.
Really,
I'm sorry.
No, not really. I don't see it that way. I think it's just reality, right? I mean, what I think was really key is you said how honest Vernell is. And she's called us before, just to let you know, because she loves Lucy. Obviously, she's very on top of things with her. And her kitty's being honest with her, too, because she doesn't want to pull any punches, you know. That's so difficult to be loving and honest in that way, but it's really powerful when you're able to do that and receive it. So that's a huge lesson, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a big lesson. And there's something, I don't know what it is in Vernell's life, but that commitment to honesty is the most, it's one of her highest qualities. It's an important quality, and the kitty really honors it in her. That's neat.
Yeah. She strikes me as a really grounded person, you know, and really forthright, mm-hmm. like in a very quiet but very determined way. So I think you picked up on mm-hmm. something pretty unique to her as a person, and obviously her relationship with her companion. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if we can get at least one more caller in. We've got somebody who's been on for a while. So this is area code 434. Hi there. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Carla,
amazing
animal communicator. Say again.
My name's Khalil. I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hey, Khalil from Virginia, too. All right.
Hi, Khalil.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I had a cat named Meatball that died back in 2013.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what Meatball was saying. About me as a person and about my stomach issues.
Oh.
If it's gonna be okay right now.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
All right.
You want to talk to Meatball?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. What did Meatball look like, Khalil?
White Himalayan, eyes glow red in the dark.
Oh
wow! Sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I connect with grandmother Sunflower, and she looks at me and she's just smiling, and she points up. And so up we go, up through the tree branches, up higher, and up higher, and higher, until we are in a plane, and there's this absolutely spectacular cat strutting toward me. He looks around one way or the other, and he sits. And then he crouches down, and he sticks his nose out, and he says, "Let me smell you." So I put my fingers out. He smells me. He backs up, and then he says, "Look behind you." And I look behind me, and I see like these beautiful mountains that have a gray hue cast to them. And then I look through them and I come and I can see your house. I see you.
Wow.
So you, Khalil, you are being watched by Meatball as an angelic being.
Okay.
And Meatball then, we see this cloud, and he jumps on it, and we're flying together on a cloud, and now he's over a medical place where you've been getting your treatments and assessments about your stomach. And he's there. And I am not going to be privy to any of the medical conversation. But I'm watching him sitting on the documents, on the paperwork. I'm watching him be involved with the doctor's thought process, with their, as though he is interweaving his energy into the doctor's energy, so the doctor cannot help but come to the correct conclusions and the best treatment plans. And so he pulls back now, and then we're back up in the heavens. He says, first of all, that's one of the ways that I work. I am an angel who interweaves to the doctor to make the doctor not be distracted and be smart and do their very best. The next way he works is with you. When you are getting discouraged or thinking about not doing what you're told, not you, he encourages you to go back on routine and on correct path. He's your conscience to keep you going. And the third way is he does direct healing on your stomach. The way that he used to knead on you, you know, knead, knead, purr, purr, he does that now still. He's still doing direct healing work on you. So the long and short answer is he has transcended into an angelic being, and his 100% focus is on helping you be healthy. And there's your answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, kitty cat. And I'm coming back. Well, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that helpful, Khalil? Do you have any feedback for us or anything? Or?
Yes, it was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. How long did you have meatballs for?
Yeah,
sounds like quite a cat.
2004 to 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice that she's still with
wow.
you in spirit form. That's pretty powerful.
Oh.
Well,
wow.
I think we're gonna try to get one more caller in, Khalil. So, you know, definitely get in touch with Carla if you need some more insights about meatball. Sounds like a really great relationship there. So thank you for calling us and sharing your story about your kitty.
Thank you.
All right. You take care now.
Thanks, Khalil.
Take care. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Yep. Be well.
Whew,
all right.
That
so,
was intense, you guys.
Yeah. You're it's knocking them out of the park. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, that cat's an angel. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Khalil's a lucky man to have that spirit working for him. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Says a lot about him, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Can you do one more? You want to squeeze in one more, Carla? How are you doing? How's your energy level? I don't want to wipe you out or anything.
I'm kind of blurry. I don't think I can. I'm pretty blurry right now.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine. That blurred me up.
Yeah. Tell us about
well,
what.
Thank
what that,
you
what that
for doing
like.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it the journey process
wow.
or the interacting with that particular being or just the cumulative stuff maybe, huh? You've been on for a while.
Some of it's the accumulative, but that being, he's really transcended. And
mm-hmm.
when I went up into that, oh, my God, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a lot of real higher level upper world work for those
mm-hmm.
last couple clients. Big.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
Yeah, you know, we didn't really touch on it too much, but I remember Vernell saying that her cat was a Pleiadian cat. Have you ever interacted with that before? That's a new one to me. I haven't heard that kitties could come from the Pleiades, but I suppose that's possible.
Well, you know what?
Cats have an origin story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's this place in the upper world where the cats are. But no,
yeah.
I haven't heard of Pleiadian cats. No, that's new to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe there's
no,
a planet
that's,
cat
that's,
in a Pleiadian group.
Yeah, that I hadn't heard. But I do see that, well, the Crystal Palace of cats that we went to for Michael, that I
mm-hmm.
see pretty often. And It's got all those old Egyptian goddesses in it. It's crazy. It's crazy cool. I want to tell you a real fun story about that. Ooh, you got time for a short story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So my girlfriend in Texas named Deb is a pretty good animal communicator, and outside of her office one day showed up a beautiful gray stray cat, and the cat looked at her and said, "You're going to take me home and take me to a cat show." And she said, "What?"
That's, again, a weird question. That's how I met Michael. It wasn't a cat show, though. He wanted to go to the movies, but, yeah. This is a powerful show. It's amazing synchronicity. And then what happened?
Oh, so she did. She adopted him. You know, she brought him home. She called me up, and she said, "I just got this cat, Timmy, and he wants to go to a cat show. I've never been to a cat show. Ask him why." And so I did, and he said, "Because I need to meet the white cat to talk about the rods." And he showed me these sort of space-like things that look like long light-being rods all over the sky. And something triggered in my mind, like I'd heard of them, but I wasn't sure. And so I told Deb, and she said, "Well, all right." And she signed up for a cat show. She got him all washed up, and she took him to the cat show, and she went through the first round, and he got high enough honors in the domestic household cat competition that he went on to the next round. And so the next round, she had to take her cages into another room. She put her cages down, and she's got her little grooming table, and she looks across, and there's a woman there who's got a whole bunch of cages filled with white cats.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, "Who are they?" And she said, "Well, that's a feral colony I just adopted, and I'm bringing one of them to show them, but I brought the whole colony so they wouldn't feel alone."
Wow.
And
oh my
Timmy
goodness.
Glued eyes onto those white cats and totally wouldn't take his eyes off them. And they talked about the rods. They had this big conversation, this much higher being than human being conversation about the rods. Whatever the hell those are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they are.
What is that?
Sounds like something tarot, like the rods, you know. There's the staffs or the rods, you know, there's the swords. So interesting. Wow. Well, there you go, right?
I think it is like the rod.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Does she still have Kenny?
No, Timmy's on the other side. That was a long time ago.
Cool story, though.
But he is on the cover of my DVD, Speak to My Heart. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's a DVD I did. Teach animal communication back when I lived in Bonita, and he's such a gorgeous cat. He's on the cover.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, Carla, you should tell people about that DVD, how to get in touch with you, as we're coming close to the end of the show. So
if you'd like to learn how to communicate with animals, if you'd like to take your first step in shamanism, come to spirithealer.com, and there you're going to see a link to free classes. I have a free class on learning the journey and another free class on connecting with your power animal, and that will get you on your path. And then if you like that, then you take another class that gets you more deeply immersed into the shamanic journey. And then I have an animal communication class that's starting in April for using the shamanic journey for communicating with animals, and you are on your way. So spirithealer.com, you can begin your journey.
Wow.
I hear
really
music.
Powerful. Yeah, that's our outro music.
Yeah.
We have a guy with a I guess you really wanted to hear it because the guy with the calliope went nuts there for a second. But yeah. Yeah, that's how we let people know the show's winding down. Okay, well, great. So that's all going to happen when people contact you and connect with their own ability to communicate with their animals. That's really powerful. I love that. That's so great, Carla.
Thank
Michael,
you so
how
much
can
for
people...
having me.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Oh, my God, Carla. This
Thank
is
you
so
for
magical.
Coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really
that's amazing.
With, yeah, you're just such a good person and so many good things flow out of you when you offer your services on behalf of the spirits and the animals. It's just very touching, very sincere, and very, very needed, obviously. You know, there's so many people out there with relationships that they are trying to work on and improve in so many different areas, and animals are a big part of it. So the work you do is really important, and we definitely want to support that, and hopefully we get to have you back again soon. That'd be lovely.
Thank you. I love you, and I appreciate you. It's been a complete delight.
Nice. Mr.
Yes,
Espinoza,
please come
what's,
back.
What's your contact info in case people want to know how to find you?
You can go to Michael J. Espinoza.
Oh,
go ahead.
So, no, I didn't understand. I'm a spirit healer, and Michael is at MichaelJEspinoza.com.
That's right.
Right?
And you
That's
can
right. That's
call,
right.
Yes, absolutely. And the phone number is 562-457-0457. How about you, Lawrence?
Nice.
How can people get in touch with you?
541-344-7534 is the number to call or text. GivingTreeEarthlink.net is my email. Facebook, you can find me at Giving Tree Farm Herbs, and my website's givingtreefarm.com. Remember to follow us so you don't miss a single episode, and we also have archive shows. If you want to go back and listen to this one or our 50 other shows we've got since we've been broadcasting for about a year, they're all really wonderful, and tell a friend about us. Here
yes.
on the Psychic, follow
yes.
us. Yeah.
Yes.
So on behalf of my co-host, Mr. Michael Espinoza, and our lovely and esteemed colleague and guest, Carla Meske, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Psychic Funhouse. Take care and be safe. We'll catch you here next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Yes.
Thanks again.
See you here next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye, honeys.